and Super Talk 1270 Bismarck.
And we might point out KNDK Info 1080 out of Langdon, North Dakota. Good to have them on the team as well. Got a bunch of messages on our new text club. People wondering when we're going to make it all the way out to way western North Dakota. You know what, Aim? We might have some announcements coming for them very soon on that. Is that called a tease? Did I learn that at broadcaster school?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, just
when
checking.
Did you go?
Might have been
just
listening.
Oh, that was last weekend?
Exactly. I want to let you know today we're going to have General David Spritzenatic on. He's Adjutant General for the state of North Dakota. See how North Dakota is going to deal with some of the issues that Mississippi and Texas have decided to take stances on. But before we do any of that, I've got a friend in studio with me, Jack Ekstrom from Whiting Petroleum. Jack, good to have you on News and Views.
Good morning, Joel. Thank you for not teasing me.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to involve you in the discussion with General Spritzenatic. I promise that. Also, Ron Ness joins us. He runs the North Dakota Petroleum Council. Ron, good to have you on News and Views.
Thank you very much, Joel. Good to hear you, Jack.
Good morning, Mr. Ness.
Let's get to the most important thing we got to talk about today, Ron. You and I, come September, we're already thinking about this. How many pheasants do you see out in western North Dakota?
I think it's going to be good. There's certainly going to be some spots. We've had some hail come through and kind of a wet June. You know how important that is, Joel. But what I'm hearing is people are starting to harvest. They're seeing more and more birds. So it's still going to be good.
The count in South Dakota was disappointing, and I didn't know if that was going to carry through all over, but the point is there's still going to be birds out there to get after, Ron. I mean, that's the upside.
You know, sometimes it's more fun when you got to hunt a little bit anyway.
So. Yeah, the last time I went hunting in South Dakota, it was more shooting than it was hunting. It was just a blast. Ron, you've got your annual meeting coming up and the Pick Up the Patch. Let's do the Pick Up the Patch first. Jack, this is a great event for you folks.
It is terrific. We're looking forward to being in Minot here very shortly. As you know, the community is not fully recovered from the disaster of a couple of years ago, and we're looking forward to helping fix some of what's still wrong out there.
So I thought we were talking about picking up road ditches. What are we talking about?
Well,
here?
It's not just road ditches. I mean, we've got some of that, but some of the damage done from the flood there has yet to be repaired, and so we are going to be working on that. And Ron Tessa was quoted this morning in the newspaper talking about that. What's your take on it?
Well, I was up in Minot for a meeting about a month ago, and the mayor of Minot approached me with a challenge, and they have got all of these lots down in the flood area that were turned back to the city. And, of course, with all the rain they've had, they have got weeds up to waist to chest high, and it's frankly been a mess. The city has been trying to get a handle on this, so he asked me if we could help, and we have with the lead of Enbridge and now the city and the chamber up there, we have put together a couple of days this weekend where we're going to go around and try and clean up those vacant lots. And so anybody that wants to help out there, we're doing a Friday and Saturday virtually all day, 8:30 to 5, meeting at the Arrowhead Mall parking lot in Minot. Bring your weed eater. Bring your work gloves. There's going to be lunch, box lunches. There's going to be a pretty organized effort to Minot to try and get some of this cleaned up before winter sets in.
What weekend are you going to do it on?
Arrowhead Mall parking lot, Friday morning and Saturday morning.
This coming Friday and Saturday?
Correct.
Oh, okay. I've been through it. I've seen it. You've got people who are saying, you know what, this is my lot, this is my neighborhood, this is my home. They've rebuilt. They've built some beautiful homes, and then they'll be right next to exactly what you just described, Ron, which is a bunch of pigweeds and a home that's dilapidated, and somebody said, I give up. I'm not living here anymore. So I can see where Mayor Zimmelman's getting after it. I mean, this is going to be some heavy lifting, Ron.
Well, that's one of the notes we have on here. It's going to be heavy lifting. Not only heavy lifting, it's heavy lifting. So, and that takes people, frankly. So we need people showing up, and certainly if Minot's where you live, if Minot's where you work, or you just want to help out the people of Minot, this is a good opportunity, 8:30 Friday or Saturday morning at the Arrowhead Mall parking lot, and we will have folks there getting you organized to help out.
What a great way to spend a weekend making a town like Minot better, Jack.
Well, Minot, very close to our hearts. They've suffered a lot, and it's time for us to give something back, and we're going to do it.
Okay, let's talk about the annual meeting that's coming up. You're going to be heading to Grand Forks, the way it sounds, Ron. The Alaris has got you this time.
Joel, this is a first in the 60 years of the Petroleum Council. We are bringing the West to the East, and Grand Forks and the Alaris Center, as you know, is just a great venue. We are having three great days, and the first day, Monday, September 16th, is Community Day. This is going to be fashioned after our Cookfest events. We've got two Bakken education sessions at the Alaris Center, starting at 2:30 and at 4 o'clock. And then we have kind of a community barbecue. We've got an expo there. We're going to have a workover rig. We're going to have a pump jack. We're going to have 125 exhibitors or so that are all focused on either education or potentially job opportunities. It's completely free to the public. So we're hoping for, it's kind of hard to plan in a college town how many people will show up. But we're hoping for around 6,000 people in Grand Forks for that Monday event.
I think you're going to get it.
Community Bakken Day.
I think you're going to get it. People in the East here have had a tremendous interest in what's going on in the West. And finally, it's close enough where they can go there, Jack, and see it and touch it.
It's a chance to get up close and personal with all of the things that you've heard about, some of the things that you suspected were perhaps specious or strange. You can get up close and personal and find out that they're not, that it's pretty common and ordinary stuff for us day after day. I welcome everybody who, within the sound of our voices, to come up to Grand Forks next week and the 16th. And take a good close look at what the oil industry is doing for North Dakota.
I'm going to be broadcasting at that meeting as well, so I'm going to be spending some time up in Grand Forks. I've been to these in the past, and you go to conventions, Ron. You and I've grown; we know North Dakota through and through. And to get the crowds you get, I don't know that anybody else is doing that at trade conventions like this. It's a pretty tremendous crowd. I mean, we're about to beat a Big Iron next week, and per day to get 6,000-7,000 people, that's a lot of people.
Well, again, this is the community day is Monday. We're hoping that people will just come and check it out. And there's so many people with interest in the Bakken and a great opportunity. Those education sessions, we have room for up to 1,000 people in each of those. And then the second day is our expo. That's our industry expo day. And if you've got business interests in the Bakken, for $75, you can come and do the trade show that day. We also start with some of the presentations for our annual meeting. The third day is our annual meeting when we've got Matt Rose, the CEO of Burlington Northern, coming. We've got Bill Maloney from Stat Oil. We've got the governor coming. We've got talks about flaring. We've got talks about EERC, talking about optimization studies for the Bakken. So three great days in Grand Forks. We're going to have, for our annual meeting portion, we're going to have, probably somewhere around 700, 800 people there. And, you've been in Medora the last few years, Joel. We just blew the doors off Medora last year. So, what a great opportunity to go to Grand Forks.
Exactly. And Joel, just to give you an idea, we're going to have a film crew in the state from Bakersfield, California, all week long. They are seeking our input on what happens when a new play develops, because they have the Monterey Shale, which is, in fact, bigger than the Bakken play. It extends through the greater portion of Central California, which is huge. It has yet to be developed because they have hydraulic fracturing issues in their state legislature. The film crew will be here all week long. In fact, after the meeting in Grand Forks, they're going out to Western North Dakota to film the impacts of the Bakken development for their viewers and listeners back in California. So we hope to help them along and get their arms around what some of the issues are and understand what they're in for when and if this Monterey Shale is developed.
Ron, it's going to be a great event. I also want to compliment Grand Forks on this. They have been approaching you and doing all they can to help the oil industry any way they can, and yet help their city at the same time. And I think this is a sign of some of that success, Ron.
Well, I think a lot of this really goes back to, do you remember when Tom Ralston and Williston and Bruce Jovig in Grand Forks started that East meets West, West meets East, East meetings.
Yep.
And they now have 110 businesses and growing, Grand Forks businesses that are involved in the Bakken in one way or another and heavily involved. In addition to that, you've got the EERC there, 350 highly talented scientists. You've got the Petroleum Engineering and Geology School, which There's no bigger supporters of that than our folks. And then you've got the state core library right there. So the community has, and trust me, they worked me really, really hard on this deal to get us to Grand Forks, along with the UND Alumni Association. And our folks, it's such a tremendous venue that we're going to be, everybody's going to be thrilled to be there.
And nobody works harder to promote that community than Hal Gershman. I mean, he knew about, he was pushing this. He talked to me about this a long time ago and said, you know, we can make this work for all of North Dakota. So there's something cool about that. Ron, I know you got somewhere you got to go. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks in Grand Forks.
Thanks, Ron. See you on the 16th.
Ron Ness, head of the North Dakota Petroleum Council. Welcome back to News and Views. Joel Heitkamp here, your host. It is good to have you along with us on the Mighty 790 KFGO out of Fargo. Super Talk, 1270 AM out of Bismarck, Mandan, and KNDK. Info 1080 out of Langdon, North Dakota. Jack Ekstrom with Whiting Petroleum is our guest. Jack, when does it slow down? I mean, we were talking about employees. How many people have you hired so far in 2000? And just the last little bit, how many people have you hired?
I just happened to have that right in front of me, Joel. I know it's a shock that I would be prepared.
Well, we were talking about it in the break room. You were throwing some numbers at me, but it was a shock to me what the numbers were.
We've hired just under 200 people in this calendar year. And we've got, obviously, a fourth of the year left, approximately. We've hired just under 200, and we have almost 160 job openings. That's just at Whiting. That doesn't include, like, Continental Resources and Hess and EOG.
And
there are jobs and jobs
power
and jobs.
Fuels.
Power fuels.
Right now on our
Oasis.
Air, Power Fuels is running ads right now on our air looking for employees. They're a great company. They're an absolute great company, and they're a homegrown company, and they're looking for employees.
We ran a quarter-page ad in the Denver Post, which almost nobody advertises for hiring in newspapers anymore. I mean, the want ads for jobs are almost non-existent in newspapers. But we need people so badly that we are advertising everywhere. For hires in North Dakota, hires in Colorado, and hires in Texas.
So what are you looking for in particular? What, I mean, obviously, if I can drive a truck, I got a CDL, I got a job. If I, and I can pass a P test, I got a job. If I can weld, I probably got a job.
You got a great job if you can weld.
Okay.
We're looking for people that work well sites because we check every single well of ours that we operate every single day. So these jobs are called pumpers. These are guys that learn how to check a well site, learn how to read the meter, learn how to work the equipment that's at the well site, and report back. We're looking for people that are NDSU graduates, graduates of Bismarck State, graduates of North Dakota University. We're looking for people that are technically apt, people that are scientists, because most people don't realize that this is a really science-intensive technology type play that we're in. It's not that there's any mystery about where the oil is. The mystery is, what are the geochemical and geological engineering secrets that we have yet to unlock that will get the most oil out of the rock that we can? So we need advanced degreed individuals all the way down to anyone who has a GED. Anywhere in that space, Joel, from anyone who can drive a truck and can pass a P test, as you say, all the way up to PhDs, we are hiring through that entire spectrum.
You know, and I know that every time we talk about hiring, this comes up: housing. How are we sitting for housing in Western North Dakota in the areas that you need people to work at?
You know, it's getting quite a bit better. It really is. And we talk about this every month, and I understand that it may get tiresome hearing about the need for housing, but it's going to continue. Whiting has just signed a letter of intent to purchase a significant amount of acreage in addition to what we already have in Western North Dakota. Oasis announced yesterday that it spent approximately $1.5 billion to acquire more acreage for itself in Western North Dakota.
Now, by acreage, you mean what?
By acreage, that means we've acquired the leases and the right to drill on this particular acreage. So what you're seeing is some consolidation of positions. And one of the reasons we've had flaring is because the smaller operators don't have the capital and they don't have the ability to build out the infrastructure to capture that natural gas. You're seeing the large players like us, like EOG, and now especially Hess and One Oak, the gas gatherers and the gas processors, are adding capacity. So you're going to see flaring going down. There are really, really significant new additions to gas processing on the drawing board. We're looking forward to that because it's an emotional issue for people. They don't want to see these flares at night. They know that this resource has economic value. Don't want it wasted. We don't want to waste it. So we're doing everything we can to capture it and sell it.
All right. Well, when we come back, questions are already coming in to you by email about plays throughout the nation, not just North Dakota and Western North Dakota. They want to get your take on that. I know that we talked a little bit when we were alone about California and the potential there. You know, what Jerry Grunwald and they are doing at the University of North Dakota at the ERC, at the Energy and Environmental Research Center, it's going to be really interesting in a couple of weeks to get up the to Grand Forks and talk to him about where he sees all this going as well.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Enbridge, you know, the play that they've made. We've got some money issues, Jack, to talk about when we come back on News and Views. So my advice to you folks is you've got access to the oil industry right now. Call. Be part of it. 1-800-880-5346. Jack Ekstrom, you didn't know that we were going to get a long lesson in protein bars and everything else while you came here.
I came all the way up here just for that, Joel.
She's the new, who was that fitness
You're welcome.
Guy? When we were growing up,
Jack LaLanne.
Jack LaLanne. She's the new Jack LaLanne.
No, I am not. He invented the jumping jack.
Jack LaLanne
did? He did?
Yeah.
What did Debbie Drake invent? You remember her?
No.
You could always tell the guys that couldn't dance at prom because they couldn't do jumping jacks at football
But does
practice.
She have a juicer now? Because the Jack LaLanne juicer is all the rage.
Debbie Drake is
dead,
long gone,
he?
But she was the first female star of fitness on television. She was quite an item. Bleach blonde and...
Let's get to know her. Leotard. She's still alive?
And, yeah. You could probably find her on... YouTube.
Which goes to my theory, which is you can stay as healthy as you want, but you're going to die someday anyway. Right, Aime?
I read that.
I guess that could be anyone's theory.
But... I read that somewhere.
All right. I'm getting in trouble here. Yeah. I got an email question for you, Jack, and it comes here. It says, please ask Mr. Ekstrom if he's familiar with the potential oil boom in southern Illinois around Vienna, close to the Shawnee National Forest. I lived in southern Illinois for... Is it Illinois or Illinois? Which one is it?
It's Illinois.
Okay, just check it.
Like Des Moines.
There you go. For years, my sister lives not far from there, and if he doesn't know about it, or if he knows about it, does his company plan to drill there?
She's funny, asking. As a native of Illinois, or Illinois, if you prefer, Joel, I do know about the New Albany Shale. In fact, there's been a lot of activity off and on in southern Illinois and southern Indiana and Northwest Kentucky for some time. This is brand new because it just like the Bakken, everybody knew that this shale was there, but it was not economic to drill and produce at the time. There have been difficulties in the Illinois legislature with hydraulic fracturing. Like California, like New York, they have been hesitant to allow this process, which, of course, we in North Dakota know it's not a problem. But I think there's tremendous opportunity in southern Illinois, much like it's kind of moving westward from Pennsylvania into Ohio, which is the Utica Shale, and then it would move across into Indiana and Illinois, where the shale has a different name, but a lot of the same characteristics. New Albany Shale, I think it has great potential. It's not as extensive as the Bakken. But it's about as rich as the Bakken.
How deep do you go in places? I mean, we know how deep you go here. You go a long ways down in the ground
10,000 feet.
Which I think eases a lot of people's minds for whatever reason
That's
it does.
That's a lot of overburden for anything to migrate through, and it just doesn't do that.
And so part of the trouble in Pennsylvania was it wasn't going that deep, though, was it?
It wasn't going that deep, but most of it is natural gas, so it's not as much of a problem as crude oil is in handling. Because natural gas naturally goes into a pipeline. Crude oil, you truck. Excuse me. in Illinois, the New Albany Shale is approximately 5,000 feet deep, okay, just as the Utica is in Ohio, 5 to 6, I believe it is. I could stand to be corrected, but I think that's correct. The Monterey Shale in California is also not as deep as the Bakken. And obviously, the opportunity there is tremendous. That could save that state's fiscal neck.
As long as none of the money goes to the Bears, I'm okay with that. here's the thing. If you have a question for Jack Ekstrom, join in, 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Jack, just, and I know you can speak to some degree about what other companies have done as well. In 2013, walk me through the investments that Whiting and other companies that you know of, dollar-wise, put a dollar figure to this, round whatever way you want, but give me round figures of what investments being made.
For Whiting in 2013, our projected capital expenditures in the Bakken, which includes a portion of Montana, a small portion, right, of Montana, it's approximately $1.5 billion. That is approximately $8 million per well. We have 21 rigs running in North Dakota right now. Each well will drill approximately 12 to 14 wells a year. So you could do the math. I don't have the back of the envelope in front of me. But $8 million per well. Then the infrastructure, because we're expanding our gas plants both in Belfield and in Robinson Lake. We've just opened a new office, and not just opened, but about a year ago, we opened an office in Watford City, and I'll be out there tomorrow. Looking forward to that, because I haven't been in that office now that it's completed. So that's what we're doing. I like to, as we talked about briefly before we came back live, North Dakota is very much like the NDSU football team. It wasn't very long ago that NDSU was not playing in the real big time. They go down to Kansas State and beat the Big 12 champion on their home field. That's exactly what's happening in the Bakken. North Dakota is beating Oklahoma. It's beating Louisiana. It's beating Alaska. It has moved into the big leagues, just like NDSU have. They're almost parallel because they've been growing and growing and getting better and better. And look at what they accomplished just this last weekend. That's what's happening with the Bakken. You have Oasis spending almost $1.5 billion. Was announced yesterday. We spent over $260 billion to acquire some additional acreage in western North Dakota. You're going to continue to see this consolidation because the game is getting more and more expensive to be able to gather the gas and eliminate this flaring. You're going to have bigger players that reach critical mass. That's what's going on. That's what this is all about. You're not seeing declines in investment. You're seeing interest in companies like Marathon, interested in expanding their footprint and expanding their exposure in North Dakota dramatically. And Marathon is a very big company.
So do you ever hit a dry well anymore?
In North Dakota, I don't believe we have, Joel.
See, and that makes the investment. So really all you're debating internally at that board table is the price of oil, price of a barrel of crude oil, because you know you're going to get the oil. You know the expense that goes into it. You know the type of surroundings, you know, economy that you're going to have to deal with to get it. So it's easy to, you know, manage and budget for all of that. So it really comes down to the bet that you're making is that the price per barrel of crude is going to stay up there.
That's exactly right. The other time-sensitive and time investment that we make, and this happens every week in staff meetings and in technical meetings within the company and within all oil and gas companies, how do we maximize the value of what we've done? What is the recipe that gets more oil out of that rock? More than we got from the last well that we drilled. Every well is really an exploratory well because we learn something new in every single well we drill. We try different amounts of frac stages. We try different pressures. We try all kinds of recipes, some with ceramic proppant, some with sand, different amounts of water. Some we're experimenting with natural gas fracks.
You're using recycled water now.
Using recycled water. We are able actually to, with some of the technology that some people are developing in Colorado, bring back water that has been disposed of down a saltwater disposal well or an EPA-permitted disposal well, bring it back up and recycle it and use it again. So all of these things are in play, and they're in play every single day that we're doing this. I continue to use the analogy of a Rubik's Cube. You give an engineer a Rubik's Cube, and he works that problem, and he solves it, and he puts that down, and he picks up the next one. This is an ongoing process that never, ever stops. These guys are unbelievable what they're able to accomplish. And in fact, we have had areas within North Dakota that at first did not look very prospective. Now they're tremendously prospective because of the way the engineers have modified their models for fracturing and for the way the well is drilled and how big the well bore is and exactly where the well bore lands. Where is the most prolific zone? Perhaps it's different in Stark County than it is in Golden Valley County, than it is in Mountrail County. All of these things are different. It's not a uniform process.
Is the state of North Dakota fulfilling its commitment, the money that it sends you to build the infrastructure to allow you to grow?
Joel, as you know from being in government, and this is not a slap at government, but when industry and people lead, government follows. So it's always lagging, just like it's always lagging in Washington, D.C. That's nothing against Heidi or Senator Hoeven or any of that. It's just a natural fallout that the ideas are born and germinate in states, yeah, and then it follows in the federal government. So I would say that the state is working on it and is coming along. They're not holding back. They're not reluctant. But they are obviously behind because that's the nature of government.
Let's get some people on with you. Ron, you're on with Jack Ekstrom. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, Jack, see, I don't know if you've covered this or not, but there's supposedly a new process where they have four pilot holes on the outside, and it's pumping in carbon dioxide, and then it comes through the oil comes out a center hole. I've read a little bit about that.
Funny you should ask, because that is exactly what Whiting does in West Texas. It's called CO2 floods, and it's called a water alternating gas process where you inject water, and then you inject CO2, and then you inject water. It's a WAG, water alternating gas. It's been done very successfully in West Texas. We actually had a program like that in Oklahoma that we sold, which enabled us to buy this property that we bought in Western North Dakota. I don't know, Ron, that this is prospective in North Dakota. It's a little early yet because we're still developing the initial development in these fields in North Dakota. It may have possibilities. I believe for sure that it has water flood possibilities. Whether it will be CO2, only the time will tell.
Interesting.
Does answer your question, Ron?
Thank you.
You bet. Yes, appreciate the call. Welcome back to News and Views. Jack Ekstrom with Whiting Petroleum is my guest. I'm Joel Heitkamp, your host. Deacon's got a question for Jack. Deacon, you're on with Jack Ekstrom.
Hey, thanks. Jack, not a question, just a comment. A group of environmental activists were talking one day about the challenges that they face out in the oil patch, and I asked, are there any oil companies that are environmentally sensitive? And the most knowledgeable among the group thought for a moment, and he said, well, it would have to be Whiting. They seem to be environmentally respectful. And I thought, wow, that's about as good as it gets.
Well, thank you, Deacon. Thanks for the call. Jack, that's a good call to get.
Nice of you to call, Deacon. I appreciate that very much, and we do try. And it, believe me, it's not just us, but we do make an attempt. If you're ever out and have a chance to run into Fred Evans, whose property we operate on in Mountrail County, he would say exactly the same thing. In fact, he said it. It's on a video on our website, if you were interested in hearing that. But there is a concerted effort to do better than we did yesterday, and we will do better tomorrow than we do today. But it's a story that we have not told, and it's a story that typically scientists are engaged in the science of what they're doing, and they're focused on that, and they don't look upward and outward. And that's part of the reason that I'm sitting here with you today, mm-hmm. Joel, is to try to answer questions and expose people to what our line of thinking is, because our people live here. The environment is very important to them. They want to hunt. They want to fish. They want to live here. They want clean air. They want clean water. And most of our employees in North Dakota are North Dakota natives, and we like it that way because they take the best care of North Dakota than anyone would.
The other thing is, when you and I decided to do this, when we first met and said, you know, let's give people access to the oil industry, the one thing we instantly agreed on was to take calls, good, bad, ugly, whatever. That this wasn't going to be an hour infomercial. This was going to be access to the oil industry for the people who listen to the most listened to talk show in the upper Midwest, News and Views. And so this, no matter who's sitting in this chair as host, you know, I think it's good if they make sure you take questions from people. You know, if they got a concern, they should get a chance to voice it.
Absolutely, Joel. I welcome any listener who has a concern, a question, an observation, whether it's good like Deacon's, bad or indifferent, I'd like to address them all, because that's the only way we're going to learn and help each other. I can't know about the community's concerns if they don't voice them to me. So if you have a concern, I'd certainly like to hear it so that we can address it and fix it if you have one.
237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. This conference that's going to be held in Grand Forks, my guess is there's going to be some pretty big players that come into Grand Forks that day.
I expect there will be. I mean, all of the notables in our industry will be there. And obviously the officials from Grand Forks are looking forward to this because, frankly, we haven't interacted with them in a public forum like this, and we're looking forward to it.
Jack, it's always good to visit with you. I thank you for your time you spend with us, and I will see you in Grand Forks. Hop on with me up there, too.
Okay? Always a pleasure, Joel. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right.